Psalm 46, 7. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. In our previous study, we looked at numerous blessings that are ours who trust in the Lord, who have come to believe that God is our refuge. We'll continue with that theme of blessing. Psalm 84:12 tells us, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusts in you. Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. Jeremiah 17:7. That word hope is from the Hebrew word miktak, which means confidence, security, trust, refuge. We have blessings from the Lord in Christ. We also have safety when we have come to trust the Lord. The fear of man brings the snare, but whoso puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe. The word snare there can be rendered trap. We become trapped when the opinions of men and women become more important than the opinion of God. The word safe can be translated exalted, placed on high, out of reach, or excellent. Brothers and sisters, nothing can happen to us without God's consent. The fear of man brings a snare, but whoso puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Ultimately, we are safe, exalted, placed on high, out of reach, or excellent. Nothing can happen without God's consent. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Proverbs 3:26. We're continuing in our study of seeing those that trust in the Lord are blessed. The Lord shall be our confidence. This word confidence is from the Hebrew word kasel, and it can also be translated flank. The idea is that the Lord protects our flank or our rear from being overtaken by attack and captured by the enemy who seeks to destroy us. He's watching out for us. Imagine that. The God of this universe is watching out for us. He has our back. He has our flank. As I said, nothing, whether good or bad, can happen to us unless it's part of God's plan for our lives. And brothers and sisters, God's plan for us is that all things work together for good to those that are called and love the Lord, that are called according to His purpose. And His purpose is to conform you into the image of Jesus Christ. The story has been told by F.B. Meyer. He said, it was given to me by a friend who had verified the circumstances during the visit to Blankenberg. A godly pastor, Sander of Elberfeld, had been compelled to rebuke an evildoer for some gross sin, and had thereby attracted to himself his malicious hate. The man vowed to repay him. One night, the pastor was called to visit a house that could only be reached by passing over a plank which bridged a tremendous river. Nothing seemed easier to his enemy than to conceal himself on the bank until a man of God was returned from the opposite end of the plank. Meet him in the middle, throw him into the deep and turbid stream, leaving it to be surmised that in the darkness he had simply lost his foothold. When, however, from his hiding place, he caught sight of the pastor's figure in the dim light, He was surprised to see that he was not alone, but accompanied by another. There were two figures advancing towards him across the narrow plank, and he did not dare attempt his murderous deed. As they passed his hiding place, the one whom he did not know cast such a glance towards him as convinced him of the sinfulness of the act he had contemplated, and began a work in his heart which led to his conversion. When converted, he sought out this same pastor to confess to him the murderous intention which had so nearly mastered him, and said it would have been your death had you not been accompanied. The pastor asked him, "What do you mean? I was absolutely alone." "Nay," said he, "there were two." "There were two." Then the pastor knew that God had sent his angel, even as he sent his angel to bring Lot out of Sodom. Brothers and sisters, the Lord is accomplishing his will and his purpose in our life. To know these truths, brothers and sisters, is such a blessing, brings such confidence. For when you know these truths, you'll have a boldness when you trust in the Lord. Proverbs 14:26, "In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge." A television program preceding the 1988 Winter Olympics featured blind skiers being trained for skiing. Impossible as that sounds. Paired with sighted skiers, the blind skiers were taught on the flats how to make right and left turns. When that was mastered, they were taken to the slope, where their sighted partners skied beside them, shouting left and right. As they obeyed the commands, they were able to negotiate the course and across the finish line, depending solely on the sighted skier's words. It was either complete trust or catastrophe. And brothers and sisters, we have the commands of Christ. He said, "If you love me, keep my commands." He has laid out the commands all throughout the new covenant. We see Christ's commands. It's been written, but you've heard it. It's been written, but I say. We have all the admonitions and exhortations by the apostles. What a picture of the Christian life. In this world, we're in reality blind about what course to take. We rely solely on the word of the only one who can truly tell us, can truly lead us, God himself. His word gives us the direction that we need to finish our course in life. When God is guiding and leading us, we can have confidence that we're doing what is right and our decisions please him. We can have confidence of the Spirit's safekeeping power to bring us to completion or perfection. Philippians 1:6 tells us, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That word "perform" there comes from the Greek word epiteleo. It's formed from two words, epe, which means upon, and teleo, which means to complete, accomplish, or execute. That word epiteleo means to finish, to bring to an end. Brothers and sisters, God will complete our salvation when Christ returns and we're given a glorified body. He will finish what he has started. And when we see him face to face, we shall be like him. Brothers and sisters, what a promise. We shall be like him. No more sin, no more pain, no more heartache. A man stopped to watch a Little League baseball game. He asked one of the youngsters what the score was. "Oh, we're losing 18-0 was the answer. "Well," said the man, "I must say, you don't look discouraged." "Discouraged," the boy said, puzzled. "Why should we be discouraged? We haven't come to bat yet. It may seem that Satan has the upper hand right now in the world, but Jesus will set matters straight when he returns. Our redemption will finally be complete. I'm confident of this. Brothers and sisters, we know how the game of life ends for those in Christ. Satan is ultimately defeated, and we go to glory for all eternity. Never to sin again. Never to be apart from Christ. Seeing him face to face. Being reunited with those that have gone before us. We can have confidence in the Lord. And when we have confidence in the Lord, it gives us a courage. Philippians 1:14, "And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." The courage Paul received from God inspired others to live for Christ with boldness and courage. "And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak with the word without fear." They saw Paul in chains and it made them even more confident. The Romans thought that it would have the opposite effect, and it only caused the brethren to have more courage. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." Do you really believe that? "For thou art with me. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident." Brothers and sisters, what confidence. What confidence, what courage should these words bring to our hearts and our minds and our soul? "The Lord's my light, my salvation. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." What a blessing to know that God is with us. John Ruke Ahana, a preacher in Rwanda, served as a pastor in Uganda during the brutal reign of dictator Idi Amin. Amin had targeted 200,000 political opponents, Christian leaders, and members of certain ethnic groups for extermination. One day, the government soldiers came for Preacher John. He remembers, "One put the cold barrel of a gun against my ear and held his finger on the trigger. They put me in a vehicle and made me sit on a sack of explosives. As we began moving, I thought, even the slightest jolt and I'm dead." The soldiers finally released John, figuring they had successfully intimidated him and that he would no longer speak out. What the oppressors meant for evil, though, God used for good. 2 days after John's harrowing brush with death was the coming Lord's Day. That day, John walked into the church to find it packed with people who were standing in the aisles. People had heard what happened and had come to see what he would say. Would he speak out for Christ? John did speak for Christ, only this time to a larger group than he could ever have gathered on his own. God gives us courage to speak out for him when we trust in him. Courage comes from the Lord. We are to trust the Lord. Save us to Christ. And a surrendered will is a desire that comes from confidence in him. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that, whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Confidence. Confidence from the Lord. Is God, even in the most painful times of life? Many of us ask this question. Is God good even in the most painful times in life? In his book, The Pleasures of God, John Piper shared the following account from the life of 19th century British orphanage founder George Mueller to illustrate his point. On February 6, 1870, George Mueller's wife, Mary, died of rheumatic fever. They had been married 39 years and 4 months. He was 64. Shortly after the funeral, he was strong enough to preach a quote-unquote funeral sermon, as he called it. What text would he choose? When God had taken his beloved wife, he chose Psalm 119:68. You are good and do good. And his three main points were, the Lord was good and did good in giving her to me. The Lord was good and did good and so long leaving her to me. The Lord was good and did good and taking her from me. Under this third point, he recounts how he prayed for her during her illness. Yes, my Father, the times of my darling wife are in thy hands. Thou wilt do the very best thing for her and for me, whether by life or death. If it may be, raise up yet again my precious wife. Thou art able to do it, though she is so ill. But howsoever thou dealest with me, only help me to be continually, perfectly satisfied with thy holy will. To continue to be perfectly satisfied with thy holy will. When we put our trust and confidence in God, we will be surrendered to his will for our lives, no matter what it may be. Ephesians 5:17. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. What is the will of the Lord? That we would be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. If that's your outlook in the Christian life, there'll be no shame at the second coming of Christ. 1 John 2:28 tells us, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. We may have confidence. Confidence. When we live our lives for the Lord Jesus Christ, we can have confidence before him and not be ashamed of the way we lived. This word confidence is a powerful word. It comes from the Greek word parthesia, which means freedom in speaking, unreservedness in speech, which is open, frank, without concealment, without ambiguity, without the use of figures and comparisons, free and fearless confidence, cheerful courage, boldness, or assurance. When we put our confidence in Christ, it affects our lives in so many different ways. Godly living gives confidence and the freedom to live without the burden of guilt and with the joy of the Holy Spirit. And now, little children, abide in Him. When He shall appear, we may have confidence, freedom, courage, boldness, and assurance. What a blessing of the Lord. The Lord is our refuge. Therefore, I will not fear. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. We can have a confidence today, brothers and sisters, a boldness and an assurance. Let us, by faith, take these things, take these truths, take these blessings to be true. And may we live our lives for the glory of Jesus Christ. And my friend, if you're listening today and you've never come to Jesus Christ, if you're living your life for yourself, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? There'll be a day of reckoning for each and every human being that has ever lived. And in that day, will you be welcomed into his kingdom? Or will he say to you, depart from me, for I never knew you? You can know. You can know of this hope and this courage and this freedom and this boldness and this assurance by repenting of your sins and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, little children, abide in Him. Abide in Him. Trust in Him. Believe in Him. My friend, if you're listening today and you're not abiding in Christ, the scripture says to come, all ye that are burdened and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest.